Welcome to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. For the next hour, you'll hear proven methods for how to live the multiple income streams dream. Ryan is passionate about helping others discover their gifts and start their own business. He's published 5 books, and his courses and group coaching programs have changed the lives of thousands of students all over the world. Ryan's books include Private Label, The Easy Way, Finding Your Grace Place, and his latest, Streams of Income. And now, here's your host, Ryan Rieger.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. Today, we are talking with my friend, Mark Willis. He's a financial advisor with Lake Growth Financial. He's a good friend of mine. Melaine and I use him and his services in our business and our family. He's helped us save for retirement. He's helped us with being able to be our own banker, be able to not have to borrow money from banks. We can use our own source of financing. And our money grows as if we never pulled it out. So really, really cool. He is by far the expert on this and can explain this way better than I can. But I know that many of us are thinking, where do I put my money? What do I do with it now? It's 100% safe, is not even tied at all to the stock market. And it has been a huge blessing for Melaine and I and our family. So here is my episode with Mark. All right, so guys, this is Mark Willis. He's the CEO, owner, president, big man at Lake Growth Financial in Chicago. He's a good friend of mine now. He's been working with me and our Legends group for a while. My wife and I work with him on financial stuff. Actually started working with Danny Stock, our friend, and got connected to a lot of Legends members and really helped a lot of people out. I mean, if I could boil this down, it's just a strategy that allows you to borrow from yourself and essentially fire your banker, not have to borrow credit cards, take loans. So Mark is the expert. He can explain it way better than I ever could. So I'll let him talk, but I'll interject if I feel like I can add something of value.
Please.
To
yeah.
This.
Love it.
But Mark, he's a mentor of mine in this area. I've learned a lot from him. And guys, I think you'll just really enjoy this. And you're going to learn something whether or not you decide to do anything about it or not. It'll be eye-opening. So Mark, thanks for doing this with me. Appreciate it.
Man, Ryan, my pleasure. Man, it's so good to start the year with you.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a better way to start 2021 or any year than with a good guy like yourself, someone who's making it happen and helping other people, and your heart being right with God and with your fellow man. What a way to, I used to think when you would grow up that all the fun had to stop.
Oh,
but
no.
Now I realize we get to just keep playing in the sandbox together.
Absolutely.
Man. I love it.
Absolutely. That is so cool. So true. I appreciate those kind words, man. Feel the same way about you. So I made it so that you can share if you have a presentation or.
Yeah, cool. Sure. Ready to rock and roll?
Awesome. Yes, sir.
So, just so I'm aware, we have about 40 minutes of content and then 15 minutes of Q&A.
Sure.
Is that a good?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Thinking right there. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and share my screen. We'll get in. So the most important slide is up first. This gal right here. But you guys didn't come to see her.
Oh, no, that's the best right there.
So let me get started here.
My gosh, I love her hair.
Oh, man, you're telling me. She's awesome. So thanks again, Ryan. I appreciate it. I think we're going to cover quite a bit of ground together today. We're going to cover a topic for business owners and how you can fire your banker for all of your business's needs. We just went through a fairly complex and pretty intense Q4 for everybody. And my hope and my prayer is it was a great Q4. And as you get right into and keep the momentum going for 2021, I hope we can talk through some strategies to make good use of every dollar that comes through your business. And I think there's a tool and a system that I've personally found very valuable. And we're referring to it as Bank on Yourself, but there's a specific way to use Bank on Yourself that helps you even do something we affectionately call the debt snowbank method. So I think for folks that have been familiar with Dave Ramsey and his debt snowball method, this might be a lot of fun and an extra sort of extra cool way to be not just debt-free, but better than debt-free. So again, my name's Mark Willis. The best way to get in touch with me after this presentation is here on the screen. Ryan, did I get all that right? RyanRieger.com/fireyourbanker.
That's right.
Awesome. So guys, you can meet me. You can chat with me about this. If you don't remember anything else, go to that site afterward and we can just chat through this strategy to see if it's a good fit for you. It's one among many strategies we offer through our firm at Lake Growth Financial Services. It's not all we do. We do, you know, full retirement planning, business exiting strategies if it's time to sell a business someday, social security strategies. But I do believe that when you control the banking function in your life, everything else becomes easier. You know, everything else is, it's sort of like a small hinge that swings the big door in your financial life. So that's me. Also, if you guys want to learn more and kind of be connected, Ryan, you and I have just been having lots of fun on this new membership site. It's off of Facebook. It's a private membership site, which is free for anybody wanting to explore not your average financial strategies. So this is the only other website I'd have you guys jot down or keep an eye on. You're welcome to join, guys. If you're listening to this, we'll invite you on in. So just go to that site and you can log in to see what the conversation's all about.
Notyouraverage.mn.co.
Yeah.
I'm going to copy that one up, paste that into the...
Oh, right on. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. And Ryan, would you be willing, anytime someone asks a really good question or comment, pull me over and stop me as we go through?
Sure. You want to take, if the question is pertinent to what you're talking about, or you only then, and then otherwise we'll leave it to the end. Is that what you prefer?
Well, why don't we do this? There'll be several times that I'll stop and just see if there's any quick questions there, and then we'll open it up for Q&A at the end.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds good.
So the first thing I'd like to say is that imagine flying in an airplane. And for a lot of us, it's been a while since we've been in an airplane. I'm actually looking forward to cramming in the middle aisle seat again because it means I'm going somewhere cool. But for all of us, most of us, we've maybe been on an airplane at one point in our life. And there's always, I guess, a reminder when you go through turbulence that airplanes don't fly in a vacuum. They're always going through an environment. So, you know, I really think that one of the best things you could really learn is in the financial world is that your money also goes through an environment. If you've got a airplane that can fly 100 miles an hour, but you've got wind coming at your face at 300 miles an hour, you're going to be going backwards. No matter how hard you try, your airplane cannot fight against the headwinds that are stronger than your little engine can push. And that's the truth with my income. That's the truth with anyone's income. If our income is not sufficient to manage the debt or the expense of our life, we're going to be moving backwards no matter how hard we try to move forwards. And that's so often the case with our families, but it's even more prevalent and pertinent with our business. Our business oftentimes becomes a cash eating monster. We start our business with the hope of being free. I remember when I started this business, it was in response to not being really satisfied with the employee path I was going down. But in this case, you can quickly find when you start your business that you essentially just bought yourself the most expensive job in the world. When your business eats up every dollar you earned last week or last month or last year in operating expenses and sales tax, or you know, dollars out the door to Amazon lending or payables or whatever else, it really becomes disheartening to want to get up and go to work every day and to meet your customers' needs. So a headwind coming right at you is one thing. And most people think the best they can do is just to land that plane and wait for the wind to die down. You know, there was a, my buddy was getting his pilot's license, Ryan. And we drove 2 hours, it was about an hour and a half drive out to the western suburbs of Chicagoland because of all the traffic. We got on a little prop plane that could probably do about 75 miles an hour or so. And in about 15 minutes, we were flying right back downtown Chicago after our 2 hour drive out west. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's the power of air flight, you know, like no traffic, red lights, whatever.
Exactly.
But if, and I don't remember a lot of turbulence or wind that day, but if it had been a massive hurricane, you know, we would have waited for the wind to die down.
That's right. For sure.
Little two-person prop plane.
I bet you had some incredible views up there, though.
Oh, man, you're telling me. In fact, don't tell anybody, but he gave me the controls for about 90 seconds.
That's
I was in control of that little plane right downtown, flying past the big buildings over Lake Michigan. So between you and me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now there's one more way we can see this plane work to our favor, and that is to wait not just for the wind to die down, but for there to be a tailwind behind us. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if you had a airplane that could go 100 miles an hour, but now you've got a 300 mile an hour tailwind behind you. Mm-hmm. 100 plus 300 is 400 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And the difference between a headwind of the same speed and a tailwind is almost 700 miles an hour. That's a massive shift,
right?
Just because of the environment that your money's living in. Mm. So when I talk about banking on yourself, I'm talking about that shift from the headwind to the tailwind. Because guys, the average American spends about 34% of their income just to service low interest debts. Low or high, but the average debt load is 34% of our income. That's including our mortgages, our student loans, our credit cards. That would include any business lines of credit, which I know can be a popular way to grow your revenue and your inventory for e-commerce. It can be a major income suck on your business when you've got a third of your business revenue just going out the door to banks, credit cards, finance companies. And then you got another third of your family's income going out the door for the same. So it's a huge drag on your efficiency as a family and as a business. So yeah, it's an almost 690 mile an hour delta when you can go from headwind to tailwind. The key is to be patient and to fill up your gas tank in the meantime. So guys, we all went through 2020 last year, and a lot of our clients sat down with me over Zoom and talked to us about how they wish they had more liquid cash. Even though we had set up policies for them that was, they were all building up liquid money, it was always not enough. And so I'm consistently beating that drum to say, guys, we need more big buckets of contingency cash, not just for emergencies, but for opportunities as well. Because it's the people who have big buckets of liquid, tax-free, penalty-free money that's going to be able to make the biggest difference in your business going forward, whatever 2021 might bring. And I hope it's nothing but good. Yeah. But when bad things or good things come along, it's those who have the opportunity to take advantage that will be able to. So Juan, I hushed for a minute there. What would you have done different? Write this into the chat. What would you have, could you have done different if you had an extra 2 years of operating expenses sitting in the bank last year? Could you have bought some more inventory? Would you have taken a few months off to be with family? What would you guys have done if you had had an extra 2 years of liquid opportunity cash?
Normally I'd say go traveling, but couldn't do much of that last
year. Yeah, totally.
I'd say for my, now just remember the Facebook feed has a, you know, usually a 15 second delay. Roy says hire more coaches.
Hire more coaches. Thank you, Roy.
I would say for those that feel a little shy, I'd say most e-commerce sellers, buying more inventory, maybe expanding their team. If you have they feel more comfortable going towards a warehouse, purchasing a warehouse or renting warehouse space or hiring employees or hiring a VA. Those are all things that I would think. Angela, buy more inventory, more education. That's all good stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's not really a right or wrong answer there, unless you're saying like go take it to Vegas and blow it or something. But
yeah, I was in Vegas in February. That was my last trip. Yeah. And I blew all my money. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I did go to Vegas and it was empty. The whole place was, it was like a day long conference I went to, and that was the last time we got to fly much for a while. I expect to do some more, I hope.
Have you done any flying since then?
No, not because, I mean, had some flights cancel on me. Actually, we were going to go across international to Europe. It was going to be a big thing, but nope, didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, my hope is for better times to come this year for lots of travel and memories. What about you, Ryan?
My last trip was in San Diego for the Social Media Marketing World Conference in the very beginning of March, like end of February, mm-hmm. early March. And that was it. And that was like the last conference that last major conference, definitely in San Diego. I think that might've been the last one.
So. Wow. Yeah. Who would have known a year ago today that we'd be talking about any of this, you know, the more reason. Who would have known that the market would have tanked 35% and then raged back to market highs? I mean, oil embargoes and all the stuff that we went through last year. To say that we know what 21 is going to bring, it's crazy, you know. But what we do know is that access to capital is something that has been the case, and the way others have made wealth over good times and bad. So let's see. All right, let's keep rolling here. So what if you could see your money grow at a faster and larger amount every year, no matter what, no matter who's, God forbid, sneezing on who, no matter what China's talking about, no matter who's tweeting what, if your money grew at whatever pace, a set predictable and guaranteed rate every year, what would that allow you to do with your business? Could you keep some more money available for your business? Couldn't you? What if you had a plan, not just for this year's Q4 inventory, but every year, and every year, and every year's taxes? What if you had a plan for all of that? What if you owned and controlled the outcome of your money before you even started on the plan? Someone once asked me, Mark, can you predict the future? And I said, no, of course not. But if you own and control the outcome of your financial plan, that's pretty close to predicting the future. Yeah. You know, the best way to predict the future is to create it, somebody said once. So you can't control everything in this life, but that shouldn't be a license to think that you can't control some things.
Right.
You know, if 2020 has taught us that any lesson at all, it's that for sure. So many people think that before they can begin to save, they've got to start paying off debt first. I mean, that was my story.
Sure.
I had $120,000 of student loan debt between my wife and I, mostly my bringing it to the marriage from school.
That's your contribution to the marriage.
Yeah, that was my contribution to the relationship. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we threw all of our money at the debt. That was kind of our plan. And we never really stopped to say, is this the right way to go? We just heard it on the radio and thought that must be the right way to go. He with the biggest megaphone, so to speak, wins. But have you ever done the math on that? I had not. I was just blindly kind of doing this plan to pay off my debt. But nothing could be further from the truth. To wait to start saving until you're debt-free actually hinders you. It actually handicaps you, both your business and your personal life. What if you could be better than debt-free? And where is it written that we've got to be debt-free before we can start to build real wealth? So, you know, what I'm referring to, of course, is something called the debt snowball method. And it's a popular way to pay off our debts. There's some very handsome radio hosts that are very keen on this strategy, and that's cool. And it certainly helped me. But the way it works, for those unaware, there's a few steps. They tell you to list all of your debts, smallest to largest, make minimum payments on all your debts. So, you know, let's say you've got four debts. You'd find all four, you'd list them in order of smallest to largest, and then you'd go after the smallest debt first, or maybe the one with the highest interest rate, but you'd go after the smallest debt first and attack it with all your extra payment that you can. Okay. So you throw that highest possible monthly payment toward your smallest debt until it's paid off. Take that monthly amount you used to pay off on the previous loan, now apply it to your second smallest loan until it's gone, and then you repeat over and over and over again while keeping only $1,000 in your savings account. Now, Ryan, what could possibly go wrong with that?
And driving down the road, my car blows the engine. More than $1,000.
Your metaphor of the road is exactly right. Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good metaphor for.
At least you still have that credit card that you paid off, right? Or maybe right. You could put it back on there and you're back in the hole again. Mm-hmm. Actually, doesn't he teach to cut them up, I think?
He does. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Man, I don't, guys, I know that there's so many different views on this, but I love my credit card points. As long as you pay it off every month, I've taken trips. Well, we have taken trips overseas with credit card points. So
yeah. Yeah.
I know that, but if you like can't be responsible with it, if it's going to like cause you, you know, a whole bunch of stress or you're going to get deeply in debt, then yeah, credit cards aren't a great thing. But if you can use them responsibly, I know people in our community even then use them to buy inventory. And they, or that maybe they even get a card that has like 0% interest and they'll buy inventory on that and just make sure it's paid off before it comes due. So just be responsible with it. But I love my credit card points.
Great. Yeah. If you can get the free mileage, the free t-shirts and use the card for your advantage, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. That's the key. If you can use them to your convenience rather than the banks and credit cards using you for their convenience, now we're talking freedom. You know, yeah, that's called leverage. You know, leverage works in both ways, guys. So if you can find a way to leverage it to your favor, that's great. While keeping, now, Ryan, I would say, I don't know about you, but keep enough cash on hand to wipe that credit card out just in case something happened, right? You're not waiting until Thursday night to pay off that credit card due Friday morning, I assume.
Right.
You've got cash ready to rock and roll. And that's the right way to do it. That's awesome, man. Good. So guys, what if there was a better way? What if you had more than just $1,000 for that emergency fund for that flat tire that Ryan was just talking about? So here's something we have coined the phrase, the debt snowbank method. The debt snowbank method. And in this case, in this strategy, you don't just pay off the debt. You don't just pay off the bank. You actually, not literally an FDIC insured bank, but you can become the functional banker in your life. You become the banker to yourself. Now, what's better than being debt-free? Being the bank is better than debt-free. And it's a mindset shift. It's the shift from a headwind to a tailwind. If all you do is pay off your debt, you just waited for the wind to die down. But a tailwind is really where you become the banker. It's like financial judo. You know, you take the opponent's force and you use it to his disadvantage. So buy back. Don't just pay off your debt. Buy it back from your banker. Buy it back. Keeping yourself liquid all along the way. So this is where we really think you can provide some more financial sanity in the debt payoff strategy. So here's what it looks like in very simple steps. The debt snowbank method for paying off your debts. You still want to start by listing all your debts, either by smallest balance or smallest interest rate, whichever one you want to choose there. And then you go after all of your minimums on all your debts. So no change so far from the debt snowball method. It's popular on the radio. You still currently pay all of your debts. You don't go behind on your debt. Staying current on all your debts is good for your credit score. It's good for lots of things. Good for your dinner. You're not getting calls at dinner time. But anything extra that you don't have to service on debt goes to, instead of paying off the debt directly, we're going to put all that extra cash into something we call a bank on yourself type whole life insurance policy. And this is, we're going to get a little bit more into this in a minute, but a whole life policy designed to build wealth right away. So this is not a high commissions, high death benefit expensive whole life policy. No, this is a lean, efficient, cash accumulating financial vehicle. It's been around for hundreds of years. It grows on a guaranteed rate. We're going to talk more about this later, but you build up all this wealth inside the whole life contract instead of just paying off your student loan companies or credit cards or whatever. All right, what happens next? Well, as your debt comes down, let me stop sharing screen quickly here. As your debt comes down, minimal payments, you're going to see your debts coming down slowly. And your whole life policy's cash value, the stuff you can use and spend, is growing quickly. At some point, they will equal each other. Mm-hmm. And so all you have to do is access the money through a feature we call a policy loan and borrow against yourself, borrow against your own life insurance policy, and wipe out that debt once and for all. You are truly debt-free to your creditor. And now all you have is a debt to yourself, to your own policy. So we'll talk more about how that works in a minute. But
Ryan, I just said a cliffhanger in there a little bit.
Yeah.
which also that when you take that policy loan from yourself, it actually does not have to be paid back.
There you go.
Now, it's better if you do, but he'll explain what I mean by that. But that might get people thinking, ooh, what's that all about?
That's right. This is mind blown, Lisa says. That's great. Yeah, this is not
actually,
your...
do not have to pay it back.
This is definitely not your average debt, that's for sure. So
they'll get paid back eventually, but it's just you doesn't have to be. I'll just shut up and let you explain. But
no, Ryan, you're exactly right. Well, what does that do? That keeps you in control, right?
Yeah.
It gives you the power of the banking strategy. You know, if you're the banker to yourself, and let's say you're in a tight spot and can't come up with payments for 6 months, mm-hmm. are you going to repo your own car?
No.
<that's laughs> What's right. the point? Yeah. So these are life insurance loans that are non-recourse. That's the fancy term. And if you never pay off the loan, it's just going to be deducted from your massive, big, fat death benefit when you pass away, leaving your family a still a mass, slightly less massive, big, fat death benefit, tax-free. So there you go. So when your policy...
I know you probably won't mention this, but this is different than the whole life insurance that Dave Ramsey says to stay away from. It's structured
altogether
completely
different.
So
yes.
I know if you like listen to Dave Ramsey, he's a great guy. He knows what he's talking about. This is different than that.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah. So when you've got enough money in this policy, it's going to have about 8 to 40 times more cash value than the kind Dave Ramsey talks about. And the commissions are cut by about 70% over and against old fashioned whole life, which is the only kind he ever talks about on his radio show. It's almost as if, again, Ryan, he's a great guy, very handsome man, like I said, but he's also very intelligent and he's helped a lot of people with their budget. And I applaud him for that.
Yeah.
Biggest, best thing, and myself included, by the way.
Yeah.
So I think he's off on this particular strategy. He has some misinformation and maybe some different sponsors that keep him from really promoting this strategy. But the key here is this is being more than just a baby step. This is helping you find a marathon that you can run and win. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's great with baby steps. This is the marathon that gets you beyond the baby step. So when you have enough money in your whole life policy, let's say you had 10 grand of student loans or business loans, mm-hmm. and then you built up enough money in your whole life policy. Now you've got 10 grand in your whole life policy. When you have enough money in your whole life policy, you just take a policy loan to pay off the debt. And then Ryan, this is the crazy part, mind blown part. When you borrow against one of these policies, mm-hmm. not only do you have complete control over how you repay the loan, mm-hmm. but your policy will continue to grow as if you never took the loan out.
Yeah.
So I'll say that again. If you've got $10,000 debt of student loan debt or whatever, and you've got a policy that you can borrow 10 grand out of, and let's say you do that, you borrow from the $10,000 to wipe out your student loan debt. Well, your policy is still earning guaranteed cash value increase plus dividends on the entire $10,000 as if you never touched a dime of the money.
Yep.
Now, to me, that is an incredible way to overcome the problem of paying cash for things.
Yeah.
Whether I'm paying cash for my car or mm-hmm. paying off a debt or Q4's inventory, these are ways to overcome the problem of the fancy word is opportunity cost.
Yeah.
Okay. So take a moment before we move on, guys. What questions do you have? And at least write them down on your screen or your notepad, because we're going to come back to this in a little bit. And if you want to chat one too, that's fine. But we will be diving into how that works. Any other key points, Ryan, that we should make before we move on?
She says, okay, I know I'm already going to have to watch this multiple times. That's totally fine. The replay will be available. I don't know if you want to tackle this now or later. Patricia asks, what's the interest?
Okay. Hold that thought because we're going to show some real examples and that'll probably make sense. Let me finish up this infographic here and then we'll move on. Any other questions? What debts do
Greg,
you list?
What debts do you list? Do you include? So yeah, I'm going to read those out since people on Facebook can't see the Zoom. So Greg asks, what debts do you list? Do you include your cars, house, or personal debt?
Well, that's a personal decision each person can make. I have some clients that just cover all their consumer debts with this strategy. Okay. Other people use this to pay for their taxes every year. Great way to pay your tax bill if you have a big tax bill. I have other clients that they are using it to pay off their mortgage in the next 5 to 7 years. A 30-year mortgage could be paid off in the next 5 to 7 years using this strategy. If you want that. Some people don't they don't care to pay off the mortgage. They'd rather keep their cash liquid. But that's some ways you might use this. Okay. Great questions. So last question, once you've paid off your debts, it's time to celebrate and start some more policies, you know? That way you never go back into debt ever again. What this allows us to do, guys, is it allows us to, one, build up an asset right away. The most important asset in your portfolio is right here on my watch. It's time. Time is our biggest friend or foe, villain, depending on how we use it. So if you start saving today, it's better than if you start saving tomorrow. And the best way to pay off your debt and start preparing for the future is to use the debt's no bank method, in my opinion, because it allows you to build an asset right away. Even when you access the money, it does not stop the growth. Tell me, when I spend money out of my checking account, savings account, how much interest am I now earning on that money I took out of the savings account? Here, I'll give you a clue. It looks like this. Yeah.
Zero.
Zero. So this gives us additional wealth in our retirement. It gives us increased flexibility while our debts are being paid. Okay. So if I need to skip a few debt payments or whatever, I can borrow from my policy to cover my monthly minimum payments if I had to. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, I've got a ton more liquid money for my emergencies than the debt snowball method suggestion of $1,000. You know, let's say it was the month before I paid off my student loans, and I've got a $9,000 in my savings in my policy, and my student loan payments are like $100 a month, and I owe $10,000 on it. Let's say, and let's say I get disabled, God forbid, or I got really sick, or something else happened. My wife got really, or family member got really sick. I've got $9,000 that I can spend as an emergency fund to cover travel, whatever. But if I had been given all that money to snowball method, paying off student loans the old fashioned way, I don't think Sally Mae and her cronies would be willing to give me $9,000 to help me go travel. Okay. So it's a great way to keep yourself very liquid when you're covering a debt and keeping you safe in the midst of all that. Okay. And then Ryan, you already mentioned you control the repayments of policy loans you take from your policy. So you're in complete control. You want to skip a payment or a year of payments. You're welcome to do that with these policy loans. Any comments, thoughts before we move on, Ryan?
Questions, but we can save those for later.
Okay.
If you want to, good stuff. I don't know. This is just, I know people are going to have to understand, you know, might have to watch it a couple times to understand it, but we'll do our best to make it understand. At first I heard this, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds too good to be true. And when you think about that, it's, you know, can't be good when you hear that.
Yeah. But
guys, we've had our policies plural for a few years now, and it's awesome. I love it. Callan's got a policy. Melaine has a policy. I have two policies. So
it's awesome. I would have said the same and did say the same when I first heard this strategy. It's mm-hmm. got to be too good to be true, you know?
Right.
So here are some of the downsides and considerations. So good timing, Ryan, this next slide here. Guys, it does slow down how fast you could pay off your debts. For the most part, you're going to have to be a bit more patient. Back to the airplane analogy, when there's a headwind coming right at you, what do? You land the plane and you patiently fill up your gas tank. Okay? You wait for the wind to change. If you've got a headwind coming right at you, there's no sense in trying to push against that headwind. You land your plane and you wait for the winds to change, and they always do. So what do you do in the meantime? You land that plane, you fill up your gas tank. That's what I mean when I say fill up your gas tank means pack money into policies. Okay? So insurance costs will slow down. It took me an extra 9 months to get totally student loan debt free. Now, for the privilege or for the cost of waiting 9 months, my wife and I will have roughly $250,000 more in our retirement plan than we would have had we followed the rest of our Dave Ramsey plan and snowball method, and then started to save. So just because we waited 9 months, we'll have an extra that much in our retirement as a result. That's worth it.
Because that's a question people would ask. Like if, let's say I had $20,000 in credit card debt, and I'm just paying the minimums. Well, that's maybe it's 18.9% interest that I'm accruing by not paying that thing off. Mm-hmm. And so that probably answers that question right there, right? That you got an extra $250,000 in your retirement portfolio because you didn't wait. Correct. And that's more than the few thousand, even just if it's a few thousand dollars that you paid extra in interest while you mm-hmm. were paying those minimums.
Now, there may be a break point. We usually run the numbers with each of our clients, Ryan, just to make sure that this still is better for folks, each person. There, if you have a 2,000 percentage payday loan, maybe pay that off first. But there's, you know, usually credit cards at 18%, it still makes more sense to snow bank it, like we're talking about here, than to snowball it the old-fashioned way. Yeah. Now, it does take longer, guys. It usually does take some time. There are some insurance costs with these policies. It's not free. So you really have to think long-term. That's another consideration here. We don't want to be thinking just about laser-focused only on the debt, and you're going to end up just short-term thinking. You want to be thinking long-term. How much do I want my money working for me? Also, there's some medical underwriting involved with life insurance. So you have to consider, it's not like opening up a savings account. It's a little more nuanced. Usually with a good guide like myself or one of our advisors, that's usually fairly simple, but it does take some medical underwriting. But you don't have to be the insured. Like you mentioned, Ryan, your son has a policy, right? Mm-hmm. He's not the owner of that policy, right?
No.
I hope not.
No.
Maybe using it to buy like Transformers or something.
Right, cool. Exactly.
So you are the owner of the policy on your son, and you could do this whether you're grandpa or dad or whatever, business partner. Yep. So I would recommend also you fund it for some period of time, usually 7 years at least, to fund it, to kind of give it, again, airplane takes a lot of gas to take off from the runway. So you want to think about this over a certain number of years. You remember, it took us years to get into debt most of the time. So it might take time and discipline to get out of debt and build real wealth.
Yep. Okay. And guys, if you have employees, you can even, and I don't want to go too deep on all this and open up a whole bunch of questions, but you can insure your employees, anybody you have an insurable interest with, a business partner. Cause if Mark and I were in business together and, you know, something happened to me, that might be a big strain on him. And so he could actually have a policy out on me, and vice versa. So there's all kinds of creative ways that you could take advantage of these policies.
Trying to get me to sleep with one eye open, Ryan, is that right, what you're saying?
Exactly.
Just kidding. No, that's great. You're so right. So given all that, where do we go from here? Let me kind of give a quick snapshot of what is this thing that we're using, the tool that helps us use the debt snowbank method. It's something called Bank on Yourself, which is really just a modernized form of dividend paying whole life insurance. So again, the cash value is the living benefits. There's a death benefit, which is still just like you'd find with any other life insurance policy out there. Death benefits for sure for our family. But there's a living benefit, which is it's a lot more fun to spend money while I'm alive. I don't know about you, Ryan, but that just seems to be more fun for me.
Yep.
So that cash value is available for you for any reason. You think about where you put your money. If you put your money into a 401k, how does that help you with paying off your debt? How does that help you with growing your business? How does that help you with sending your kid to college? The 401k locks that money away and does not help you do anything. I had a guy one time who had a great 401k. He was getting like 9%, 8% a year on his 401k, and he thought that was great until we realized that he had two mortgages, a boat, a couple of car payments, some credit cards. He had a third of his six-figure salary going to service debt. A third, that's 30% of his money going to debt, and he was happy with his 8% mutual funds.
Wow.
So that was a headwind, right? That's the problem of the headwind of the airplane. So when you control the banking function in your life, you just win by default. You know, you could turn the motor off on that airplane. It would keep coasting just due to the wind pushing you along. All right. So there's non-recourse loans. We talked about this earlier, Ryan, you mentioned it. No required repayment schedule. How is that possible? Why is the insurance company willing to do this? They're doing it because they know, K-N-O-W, that I'm going to croak someday. All right. So it's a little morbid, little gallows humor here, but they know one way or the other, they're getting that loan paid back. Either I'm going to, you know, write the check and pay off the loan myself over time, or I'm going to just have my, let's say it's $1 million death benefit. My $1 million might be reduced by whatever it is, the loan balance. And my family gets 900 plus thousand bucks or whatever, whenever I pass away, income tax free. Yeah. So I do recommend you repay the loans over a reasonable period. But as I mentioned, the policy grows the same whether you borrow from this or not. And this is the mind blower right there. So I'm going to show what this looks like. So let's see some of this in action. All right. And for sake of time, I'm going to go right to some numbers here. There we go. So we're going to see a real life policy, $18,000 a year going in. That's $1,500 bucks a month, if I recall. All right. So in the first year, what do we notice? We've got 18 grand going in. That's $1,500 bucks a month. He's got $11,000 of cash value and a death benefit of $648,000. Now, right there, some people say, wow, that's a lot of cash value. $11,000 in the first year. They would say that's massive. Dave Ramsey says there's $0 of cash in the first year. So this is obviously very different than Dave's points about whole life. However, there are still expenses, aren't there? This guy gave 18 grand and he's got 11,000 to show for it after the first year, right? Now he's got 40 grand by year three. And what I want to keep in mind, guys, as we go down the page, by his age 70, he now has, and here's the number I want everyone to write down or keep in the back of their mind, he has $1.2 million.
That's putting $18,000 a year.
A year for 35 years. What is that? 400 something thousand that he's put in there. And he's got three times that in $1.2 million of cash available to him with no market risk. Where was the stock market, Ryan, with any of this? You know, none. He had no market risk at all.
Right.
And by the way, he starts taking 60,000 bucks a year of tax-free income starting here in his retirement years.
And guys, look at the age. At age after age 70, he's not paying in anymore.
That's right. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, in fact, he's taking money out. That's what that 60,000 is there. That's his retirement income coming out to him every year for the rest of his life.
Yep. So and these now can be structured any different ways you want to.
Yeah.
So many different ways. It doesn't have to be like, you know, if you might be 35, listen to this, like, man, I got to wait 35 years before I can start taking any money out of this. No, you can take money out at any point. Like, you know, year 21, he has a business opportunity. And so he's got $539,000 in the bank. He could say, you know what? I have an awesome opportunity to buy a business. It's going to cost me 100 grand. I've got it. I'm just going to pay for it.
Ryan, that's a great point, man. What if that year had been 2008 for everybody else?
Yeah.
Or 2020 or whatever comes next. You know, there's been three major market crashes just since the start of the century. Mm-hmm. Are we done with volatility? I don't think so.
No.
So it's the people who have ready access to capital. He didn't need to beg a banker for this money. He didn't need to go raid his 401k for this cash. It's his cash. Yeah, you're exactly right, man. So great. So great. Now let's show what this same, remember the 1.2 million. That's what I want everyone to remember. 1.2 million. Okay. So now the same guy is going to take some money out. You don't have to wait until you're, what'd you say, 35 years later when he's 70, right?
Yeah.
Right. So here's that exact story. This person here takes loans to pay off. In his case, he was investing in some real estate, but it could be just as easily be inventory for your e-commerce business. It could be paying off mortgages on your rental properties. It could be paying off your old student loans that you have, you know, really anything. So this is the snow bank method in action. So in this case, he takes out $35,000 every, what is that, every 5 years? And pays the loan off over his own schedule, his loan repayments being done on a monthly basis, and he pays that loan off. And to answer somebody's question, somebody asked interest rate. If you did the math here, the APR on this loan is about 1.9%. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap. 1.9%. And yet the cash value is growing at much more than that. So you have... Does anyone know the word arbitrage in your group, Ryan? Anybody know that word? Just a little bit, yeah. Everybody probably knows that word. So arbitrage works in the financial world where you get a spread. Your policy is growing compounded on the entire cash value, even though you've borrowed against it, even if there's a cost to borrowing this money at 1.9%. I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. If I had to spend $1,000 to get $10,000 of growth, that's still $9,000 to the good. And so again, what was that number I told everyone to remember?
1.2 million.
1.2 million. So even though he accessed this money six different times over his lifetime, he still had an uninterrupted growth system working for him at the same time. The wealth was not interrupted. And Ryan, you're exactly right, man. There's a million ways to design this. So pay no attention to this guy's age or his numbers, like his contribution. I've had folks talk to a lady today. She's starting at $300 a month. Mm-hmm. Another guy did $3 million a year last year. $3 million a year going into one of these policies. So it's all about what you guys can contribute. In fact, let me show you one more quick example, very quick. Here's the same story of someone who's in her 60s, but she didn't have years and years and years to wait. But she did have a lump sum of cash. So she had one lump sum she wanted to put in. She had $211,000. And this is the only contribution she'll ever make to this policy. Ryan, can you see that? I know it might be small. Yeah. Can you guys see it on your screen?
Mm-hmm.
So in the first year, she put in $211,000 and never had to put another penny in ever again. And she immediately had $196,000. She used it to wipe out a rental mortgage. Mm-hmm. But you guys could do this for any other reason too, paying off your debts or investing in your business, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Do you have people, Mark, that clear out their 401ks and open these up?
We do. Yeah. It's everyone's decision to do that because you would be taxed. But you know what? You're going to get taxed anyway. Here's the example I kind of used earlier. Someone said, hey, well, Mark, my 401k is tax-free. And if it's not a Roth IRA, it's not tax-free, it's tax-deferred. Big difference. When the bartender gives you free drinks on the house, that's really free. But when they just give you drinks, the bill is deferred. So you know you're going to get that bill. It's just a matter of it hasn't come yet. And the same is true with our 401k. So Ryan, long answer, man. But yes, folks do that.
Okay.
All right. Keeping an eye on our time. Why don't I hush here and just kind of talk about some of the ways we could use this. So guys, there's lots of ways you can free up money to fund policies, even if you don't think you can do it. Maybe it's from your tax refund you're going to get this year. Maybe it's the stimulus check. Maybe it's PPP round two. You know, maybe it's an old money market account that's just kind of souring at 1% in a money market somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of ways you could structure a policy to make it work. I had no idea that I could redirect my debt payment to build real wealth until I sat down and talked to a professional who showed me the way. Okay. So no two policies are alike. I just showed you two very different ones, 60-year-old and a 35-year-old. If you want to find out what your results would be, just give us a call. Give us a shout. The best thing to do is to go to Ryan's landing page, which is ryanrieger.com/fireyourbanker. Yep. Now you see why he calls it that, fire your banker. So, you know, there are no two policies that are alike. And I would say this too. You don't want to end up with someone who just Googled it. There's 400,000. Ryan, I just learned this the other day. There are 400,000 life insurance agents in the United States.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
My gosh.
So if you needed brain surgery, heart surgery, whatever, some important surgery, would you, and there were 400,000 brain surgeons, would you just pick any of them?
I'm just go down the list. Ooh, I like his name.
What do you call a doctor who graduates last in his class? Doctor. So you don't want to work with someone who just Googled this and says, oh yeah, I can do that for you. You really want to work with someone who makes this their specialty. And you know, we're among one of the 200 only that have been called bank on yourself professionals. And so, you know, I think that's really one of the key things to take away here. Work with a bank on yourself professional. If you don't like me, you don't like Ryan, that's fine. Just look for someone who has the credential bank on yourself professional. I hope you'll work with me and Ryan. But, you know, the best thing you can do is go to Ryan Rieger's site of ryanrieger.com/fireyourbanker. Did I spell that right? I hope I did.
Yeah, looks good. Guys, there's just a link on there where you can schedule a 15-minute phone call with Mark or one of his team to go over your situation, because it's totally different. Everybody has a different situation, different stage of life. You may be able to put a couple $100,000 down one time, or more like what Melanie and I did, which is a lot less than that. We did a lump sum as much as we could, and then are doing some monthly, but it could just be a couple $100 a month. So whatever your situation is, can be totally different. You can still reap massive results. And guys, for some of you that are like, man, I still want to earn my credit card points, but you still could. So let's say that you had an opportunity to buy some inventory. That's $10,000. Well, go put it on your credit card, earn those points, and then before, usually have 30 to 40 days before that bill is due, take a loan from your policy and then pay off the credit card. So you can kind of earn both. We call it double dipping too in this business, because you guys are all, those of you that are selling online, you're making money on your inventory, plus you're making money on the money you use to buy the inventory. So
it's amazing.
And you can earn credit card points as well. And some of you guys know how to earn rebates. If you're doing online arbitrage, you can earn that couple percent from your credit card, or maybe points from Honey or Ebates and Mr. Rebates. And there's just so many ways to earn money from the same cash that you put into your policy. And for those of you that are a little bit confused, maybe, we look at this as almost a savings account. It's very liquid. It's not as, usually takes 7 days or so to get money once I request it. So it's not as fast necessarily as going down to your bank. So you may have to do a little bit extra planning if you need that money in a certain time period, but it's pretty liquid. And it's to us, it's just a savings account that we have access to that pays a whole lot better than a savings account.
All right. Very good, man. So good. Yeah, you're so right. It's not your debit card. It's not your quick cash for the side of the road. If you're on the side of the road, still have a regular bank account for that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you're right, man. If you can wait 5-7 days, whatever, it's usually in your bank account from the policy.
And it's super safe, guys. It doesn't matter what the market says. If you're just joining us, market goes up or tanks completely, it'll still grow. And or it may not grow as much. Is that right, Mark? If it's a horrible year, worst case scenario, you just don't make anything. Is that right? Like an absolutely horrendous year.
Oh, it's even better than that. There is no relationship. It's totally off the truck of the market. So the good news is there are other insurance products that will give you a goose egg in down market years. Yes. Okay. But even in a market downturn, the really cool thing about this is there is a guaranteed increase of my net worth, your net worth, on every policy, which is remarkable. When everyone else would have given their right arm just to keep their account values at zero, your policies in whole life insurance will continue to increase every year. Yeah.
Cool.
And I am seeing a few questions here.
Yeah. Chris sounds like she knows what she's doing, or I know a little bit more aware of all this stuff. She goes, I'm very familiar with this, but didn't know the breakdown. Thank you. I'll be looking into this. Is this an index one, is what she says.
Yeah. That would be one of the types of insurance I would avoid for this particular strategy. There are a lot of them out there, and it's very popular right now to do indexed universal life. And many people think they have one of these. Again, there are 400,000 agents out there. Many of them are selling, and I hate to use that word, but that's kind of what's happening, the promises of the indexed life policies. And I would not recommend indexed universal life for this particular strategy. You know, every tool has its use, but I wouldn't use it for banking.
Get some questions here. Quick one. Patricia, can you explain how it grows? What kind of interest does the policy make?
Patricia, great question. It's built on the actuary. I'm going to get a little wonky, but the actuaries at the insurance company guarantee a certain increase of your cash every year. Think of it this way. They have a liability to your family. Let's say your death benefit was $1 million. All right. They have to give that family $1 million someday. Now they're thinking, okay, every year Mark's getting older, he's more likely to go on the wrong side of the grass. So I have to come up with lots of funny ways to talk about it.
Love your analogy. Okay.
So now I'm going to graduate someday. So they know I'm going to likely go some point. So give Mark a higher number to walk away this year than last year. Guarantee him that he can walk away with a larger number. And that's why they give us that guaranteed increase. It's built right into the contract. There's no market risk because it's a contract. Now it grows at a conservative basis. And I would not do this for investments. That's what your business is for. Okay. So this is supposed to be like a cash equivalent in your portfolio. It does a middle single digits. And to answer somebody else's question, there's no tax due if we design it correctly. So it's a tax-free return of somewhere around 4-6.5% is what I've found over the last 50 years or so. So
what's the savings account right now? 0.25 or?
Oh, yeah.
I
don't
know.
Show me that one. That sounds pretty good right now.
I don't even know what it is. It's like way less
than 100%. Pretty good. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's pathetic how small savings accounts are paying. But guess what? Banks, what are they doing with my money? They're loaning it out right after I deposit, you know?
Okay, so you answered the question about the tax implications that Greg had. Now, that was when we were talking about the 401ks. So maybe in case he was talking about the tax implications of pulling money out of your 401k, there would be tax, you would be taxed on that money. But the policy, no tax.
Think of it this way. If you had, you have to choose with a 401k and really all your money, do I want to be taxed on the seed or the harvest? Because every financial vehicle either gets taxed on the seed or the harvest. So I can't answer everyone's taxes are different. I'm not an accountant. But if you could choose, if you believe that taxes are going to be higher in the future, 30 years, 10 years from now, whenever you're going to retire, doesn't it make more sense to pay your taxes on the seed and let your harvest grow and be available to you tax-free? If you think taxes are going to be higher, okay? Even if you think taxes are going to be the same, wouldn't it make sense to keep some money out of your locked away 401k and get that money working for your business? That's just my non-accountant thoughts about taxes. Yep.
That's good. So you kind of answered Melanie's question. What's the interest earned versus the interest on the loan? You said 1.9% approximately on the interest on the loan and the interest earned between 4 and 6.
Correct. Yeah. And that's not just a spread of 3 or whatever that would work out to, because recall, your policy is growing at a faster rate on a larger number every year. It's 5% at the over time. But as you're going down that spreadsheet, if you go back and look at those slides, he's getting, you know, massive increase, several hundred thousand dollars of increase in the later years of his policy.
Yeah.
But he's only paying $3,000 of interest on the loan, you know, because of that spread, it grows every year.
Yep. Dwight asked earlier, can you insert cash directly from a business to utilize in this method? Or does it have to be personal money?
Great question. Yeah, you can. I do business owner policies all the time. A gentleman who's wanting to set up an asset on the balance sheet of his business. By the way, it's a great way to make your business more sellable. If your business has several hundred thousand dollars on its balance sheet inside one of these policies, and you say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. potential buyer of my business, I've got all this inventory over here. I've got this brand private label over here, and I've got $250,000 of cash value life insurance that my business owns. And by the way, when I die someday, you'll get $1,000,000. That's a great selling point for anyone looking to buy your business. So yes, absolutely. Sure. And by the way, it's a line of credit to your business when banks won't lend you any cash.
Okay. Gene says, we got a policy 1 year ago from somebody in Vancouver, Washington, been paying $250 monthly. We are 76 years old. Is there more we need to know or do?
Well, if you are working with someone who is calling himself or herself a bank on yourself professional, you've found the right person. And they are all over the country, the United States and Canada, by the way. So if you're watching this on the right side of the fence, then first of all, leave some room up there in Canada for us. And then second of all, yes, you can meet up there too. But I know Vancouver, Washington here in the States, I actually have a good friend and a bank on yourself professional who lives in Vancouver, Washington. So depending on who your professional is, all you'd have to do is contact them. If you don't know, you can reach out to me by going to the site, ryanrieger.com/fireyourbanker. And we can look at it together, look at the policy together to confirm if it's designed by the right company in the appropriate way, where you're able to get growth on your money every year and borrow against it, all the things we talked about on our webinar today.
Hey, Matthew, what happens if you're not healthy enough to get life insurance at a low rate?
You can be the owner of, I had a gentleman who had open heart surgery like earlier in the year when I met him. That makes you uninsurable for life insurance. But he was so passionate about this, he got a policy on his wife, his adult children, all of his grandkids. He owns 12 whatever policies and he controls the cash in all of them. And someday he'll leave them all to his family, his wife, and then his kids. But for the time being, he's created a family banking system. And he he's the kind of guy who pounds the table when he talks to you. And he's like, you better not ever see my kids going to get a car loan. They're coming to me.
Right.
That's the, so that's his way of handling it. So yes, you can be the owner of a policy, even if you're not healthy enough to get a policy, no problem at all. Hey, Tyler, I see you there, man. Tyler Goble. All right.
Yeah, Tyler, that's a great question. Let's do that one real quick. Can you talk through how to utilize a policy to help aid a nonprofit?
Man, yeah. There's a fun one. We have a whole nother PowerPoint I could do on this one. We did a YouTube video on how to do charitable banking, Ryan, and I'd be happy to share it with your group someday. But you know, we think about, so we have such short time horizons. I do anyway. I'll speak for myself. But if you can live beyond yourself and think about the causes and the missions that are important to you today, why should those causes and missions and charitable works, why should they suffer? If you're a donor to their cause, why should they suffer just because you forgot to wake up this morning? Right. That's a great way. Life insurance, what a great way to multiply your mission. You know, your values are more important, I would hope, than your meat and bones. You know, so make a way, find a way to multiply your mission. Lady who gave a policies, she owns the cash, she owns the policy, she can use it for her retirement needs, but the death benefit was left to a church, urban Chicago church. When she died a few years ago, that was a lifeline to that urban downtown church, which gave them $750,000 that kept them going, you know, for years. It's a great way to do it. But in the meantime, you can also give a policy to a nonprofit and they can use it. You know, you can donate the policy for the nonprofit. Okay. That's enough for now.
That's good. No, Julia, that's great. Thank you, Julia. I love talking about that. Brian, how would this benefit your kids if you put $1,000 every year towards a whole life plan for them?
Yeah. Okay. We've got so many great questions. What a great, cool group, Ryan. I've always, man, the Legends crew is the coolest ever. So, yeah, we got a couple options, right? You can put money into a 529 plan or a college savings account for your kids, and then it's locked up. And if they decide to follow you in the way of the entrepreneur, like many here are going that route, then that money's locked up for good if they don't use it for college education. Meanwhile, if you had a policy, you could be packing money into one of those. In fact, we just did a video on this, actually, funny enough, on life insurance for kids. And we talked about what you could do with it if you funded a policy instead of a college education, what you could do with a policy for your kid. So my thoughts, my hat off to anybody thinking about their children. I have a policy on my daughter and I'd recommend it, guys. It's a great, and you've got one on your son?
We do, yeah. Ryan, it's only $200 a month. So we probably could, you know, maybe talk to you about whether that's enough or should do more. Or that's
why in the world would you do that though? I mean, why put a policy on a kid? He's, you know, that sounds crazy for most people to think about. What was important about that for you?
Well, I mean, it's just a, you know, it's a way to give to him. And I don't even remember what the numbers were, the chart, but it looked pretty impressive because we started when he was 1 year old and the amount of money he'd have when he's 70 was crazy just from that $200 a month, which is, you know, nothing really. Yep. So it's instead of doing the college plan like you were talking about, and if he wants to go to college, cool, he can pull it out of that policy. Who cares? It can be for anything.
Man, love it.
Becky, is this possible if you're in your 60s and kind of covered this already and do not have a lot of money saved for retirement? Can this help me?
Well, I would say, you know, it depends on your situation. If you don't have like your, I don't know you every detail about your financial life, of course. I would say make sure you've got a little bit of cash in the bank for emergencies and other things. Once you've got that and you're living within your means and your budget is okay and you've got more money at the end of the month than you're spending on the essentials, of course, then yeah, I've had folks even in their 70s start these policies at even just a little bit a month. And if you fund it for a few years, it's a good solid bucket of money. Because guess what? Emergencies happen no matter what our age, no matter if we're retired or not. So having some sort of liquid money for those emergencies or inevitabilities, I should mention this too. You can use, and Ryan, I'm not sure if you knew this or not, but you can use the death benefit for long-term care in the future. Sure. Mm-hmm. So if you needed additional, yeah, and thank you, Julia. Julia, Reed has put some really cool resources. Thank you, Julia. Am I too old for Bank on Yourself? That's a really good episode we just did on YouTube about this exact topic. So thank you. But yeah, you can own the policy, have just a little bit of cash in there. Mm-hmm. What would you do if you had 10 grand even in cash value for your, you know, your cars in retirement? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's all you use it for. So thoughts there.
Right. Keisha, what happens to the cash value at the end of the policy, i.e. upon the death of the insured?
Yeah, well, it is a part of the death benefit your family gets. So when you started a policy, I'll try to keep this simple because we're not looking at a lot of numbers, but old fashioned whole life, the insurance company would give you the original death benefit and keep all of your cash. That's not cool. The modern form, the kind we're talking about today, they call it bank on yourself type whole life. Your policy's death benefit grows. It does not stay the original amount. So if I was to do all of this and follow through and have a policy, just like we've talked about, if you went back to those slides earlier and looked at the numbers, look at the guy's math. When he's 70 years old, he would have received the original death benefit, all of his cash value, and even more than that too, if you added those two numbers up. So there's all of the original death benefit, all of the current age 70 cash value, plus a lot more on top of that. So go back and look at that part of the webinar, guys. I won't bore you to tears by looking at the spreadsheet again, but that is the newer form. You get to keep the original death benefit, all the cash value, plus more. That's, again, one more reason why this is not like what Dave Ramsey's talking about.
Yeah. If you have those slides, can I pass that on to everybody, or at least the charts?
Yep.
Let me make a note to get those charts from you. Mm-hmm. That'll be good for them to kind of review. Okay, a couple more here. Guy says, I'm late. No problem. Happy with the replay. You can watch, Guy. No problem at all. What is the minimum monthly contribution recommended?
I would not recommend you start something on about $200 or $300 a month on an adult. You really just won't be building enough cash. I'd say save that in a regular savings account for 6 months if you're having trouble doing that, and totally cool to do that. I've told folks it doesn't matter where you are in your journey. It matters what direction you're headed. That's the more important piece, is what direction you're headed in. So $250 to $300, that's probably the minimum. But chat with somebody, me or somebody, and we can see if that's the right plan for you or not.
Yep. Okay. Brian, what's the biggest negative with a company like New York Life Term Insurance versus Bank on Yourself?
Yeah, well, okay. Oh, there's kind of two parts to my answer. I'll keep both of them as brief as I can, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Term insurance is like renting. And what we've been describing is more like owning. Mm-hmm. So term insurance, you don't have any equity in your, when you rent an apartment, you have no equity in the house or apartment. They can raise the rent on you. The landlord can. And they can kick you out whenever they want to, so to speak, barring these moratoriums we're in right now. So it's sort of like that with term insurance. The rent goes up, term gets more expensive. You have no cash accumulation. It's just renting the death benefit. And when you get sick, they kick you out. It's kind of how it works with term insurance. That's why 99% of term insurance never pays a claim. Now, whole life, you build equity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get more expensive. In fact, watch the expenses, you know, get absorbed by the increase of your cash and go away. And there's no expiration. It lasts your whole life. Forgive the pun there. So New York Life is a great company. It's 150 years old, paid a dividend without fail for 100 plus years. They've got a lot of the right features for Bank on Yourself, but I don't use them, just to be very frank. Since you brought them up, I'm not advertising for any company today because we're independent. We work with any company. But New York Life has a major problem with one feature of their policy, which makes it a deal breaker for me. If you want to know what it is, call me. I'll just say it forces you to lower down what you can contribute. I'll just keep it brief for everybody's sake today, but reach out to me if you want to learn what that limitation with that particular company is. Is that a fair answer, Ryan?
Yeah, that's a great answer. And the last one I see here is, it's not really a a question, but there's a few, we have people on the Legends group, Mark, that are from all over the world.
Cool.
So Debbie, I know she lives in Israel, actually. She said, it was such a cool session. I just have to find out whether we have policies like this in the country I live in. So do you know anything about this? If somebody's overseas, I know they can have a U.S. Yeah. company and take advantage of this. That's one way. But what do you know of anything else other than that?
Well, I'm familiar most with Canada because there are companies up there that can do that. And you're right. I have several clients, actually, that have dual citizenship in Israel and the United States, and they have multiple policies. Other people have a green card here. Other people have a business here. Okay. If you have a reason for your presence here in the United States, a business, family members, you know, typically there's a case by case scenario where insurance companies can still get the policy for you, and it would work around the world.
So it could be as simple as, somebody creating an LLC here in a state that's really cheap, just a simple LLC, and then they're eligible.
Yep. Wow. Yep. I think you have to visit the United States to do a medical exam sometimes.
Okay.
But that is just a plane ride, I guess. And maybe you're coming here anyway. For different things for your business. Yep.
Nice. Okay, cool. Cause Neil Stevens was asking about that. He's in the UK and, he's been here. He was here for a conference back in 2018. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Awesome. I'll let you guys go. Mark, thank you so much for doing this. This is a lot of people interested in this. If you want to go further, feel free just to book a free call with him or his team. It's ryanrieger.com/firebanker. There's no pressure. Mark's one of the coolest guys to work with. He'll go through your situation and he will be 100% honest with you and tell you like, yeah, this may not be a fit for you or for whatever. I mean, he wants the best for you. And I appreciate that about him. He's totally not trying to make a sale just for a sale's sake. He's here to serve. He has a servant's heart and he's been a blessing to me and my family. So Mark, any last words you want to say?
Well, Ryan, it's totally mutual. Like I said, it's the coolest thing in the world when I get to play and have fun with great people like yourself. And I say that in the best possible way. I think we're doing good work together.
Yeah.
But I consider it a form of play. Maybe I've got that 4-year-old ringing in my ears, my little daughter. But I just love the experience of getting to try new things and share and serve your community in any way I can help. Guys, I'm here. I'm rooting for you. I think you guys are the spirit of the American future and the world's future is entrepreneurs. So thank you for all your good work.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day. Mark, we'll talk soon, buddy.
All right.
All right, see y'all.
Bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. From right here in the Dallas Metroplex, Ryan teaches several entrepreneurial courses and group coaching programs to students all over the world. Be sure to listen next week at the same time for Streams of Income with Ryan Rieger.